I want you to fix Pinto up, but it's got to be a very special girl.
Listen,
now, she should be decent looking, but we're willing to trade looks for a certain kind of morally casual attitude.
Oh, you mean you want somebody you can on the first date?
Well put. The Don and Mike
Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Christ. 7 years of college down the drain. Might as well join a Peace Corps.
Broadcasting Butterball Naked. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
You're damn right. Well, let's bring in Peter Rieger. I mean, the guy is, I think, a very talented actor.
Oh, I love Peter. I really do.
We all know.
I didn't mean anything by that. Everybody knows him from Animal House.
Right.
And a bunch of, he's been in a million things.
You know what else he was great in? You probably will not even want to talk about. I think Peter Rieger's greatest role ever. I'll tell him when he gets in here.
Here he is right now. Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
Hi,
I'm
How are you?
Nice to meet you, sir.
How are you? Nice to meet you. I'm Mike.
I'm truly a big fan.
Traveling pal, assistant. Lisa.
Hi, how are you? Have a seat, relax, pull up a microphone.
I know you want to talk about your new stuff.
Talk whatever you want to talk.
Okay. Your greatest role, in my humble opinion? Barbarians at the Gate.
Oh, thanks.
I love it.
Played up Peter Cohen, right?
Yes.
Peter Cohen.
The guy, fantastic. The thing with James Garner and the RJR and Nabisco thing.
Mm-hmm.
When that finally came out on DVD, I was thrilled. I love Barbarians at the Gate.
Well, Larry Gelbart, who's the writer, is he's terrific. He used to write all those MASH episodes,
right?
A million Broadway plays. He's quite a guy.
So look at you. You're a real actor now. You started off in Animal House. You know, I mean, at least that's where we first saw.
Yeah, that's the first film. But I had started in 1971 back in New York City doing plays and, you know, getting in trouble.
There's an obscure movie that you did with Burt Lancaster that I've watched a million times. I just love it, and it's called Local Hero.
Local Hero.
And
yes.
it takes place in Scotland, right?
Scotland.
In
the Highlands of Scotland.
Was that fun to make that? Just, I mean, over there, it's so beautiful, that scene, the scenery over there. It just looks like it might have been a blast to do that.
Well, I was there for about 9 weeks in May and June of... I guess 82, and the sun doesn't go down until midnight.
Right.
It was up at
3
in the morning. It's just spectacular.
It's beautiful.
People are great, and whiskey's brilliant.
And I think we mentioned a million times The Sopranos.
Sopranos?
That is one of the defining scenes when you're there with Tony's Gumar.
Girlfriend, yeah.
And he beats you with the belt.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
it's amazing how much fun people get out of Mike getting beat.
Really, though.
It was pretty intense.
In your whole career, and I think you're a pretty famous guy. I think you're really an unheralded actor, and I really think you're very talented.
Thank you
very
much.
I'm not trying to give you a prostate exam.
Please.
But the question would be, when people see you, how much of that now from The Sopranos, because that is so friggin' popular.
You know, it's hard to measure where people, usually it begins, either it's immediate,
right,
because they know me from a particular movie or television show, or they think we went to high school together, camp, I'm a distant relative, and usually it's, do I know you? And I, of course, have to explain, I don't think so. Or they say, how would I know you? And of course, I don't have a clue how you would know me.
And you don't really want to deal with that, I would imagine.
Oh, it's fun. It's okay. It's just that if somebody, even if they know you're an actor, they may, you know, you have to be really, really famous for most of the country to recognize you.
I would imagine it would be frustrating, though, if obviously, a lot of people that are in show business, they're getting recognized and having your work acknowledged is something very pleasant.
Part of the deal.
But to sit at, in an airport lounge somewhere and someone says, how do I know you? And you realize that in order to really do this, you're going to have to give some sort of bio to them. I don't think that would be a very nice task.
Well, I learned early on, and almost every actor's probably gone through this experience, when you're first starting out and somebody recognizes you, it's a jolt. It's absolutely fascinating,
mm-hmm. right?
And usually they'll say, how do I know you?
Mm-hmm.
And every time in the first couple of years, I would answer, and they'd always say, no, that's not it.
Right.
So I would have to stop doing it because it was, until I realized that the question was, could you look in my brain and just figure out how I know you? So it gets to be a bit much.
We will not totally live in the past.
We'll live in the past.
Love to talk about your new movie, but sure. with Animal House, which for all of us, I'm 47, he's right. 46, Buzz over there is much older.
Buzz is in his 70s.
That's
so.
True. Yeah. When that movie came out, when you guys were making it, did you realize that it would be the type of a movie that someone like me, I was 21 at the time,
right,
sat in the theater with my friend Howard Hoffman
mm-hmm.
after we saw it,
right,
with our jaws on the floor, saying that we had never seen a movie like that in our freaking lives. Like, every joke that you ever made was in it. Did you right. guys have any idea?
All we knew was that the script was fantastic and that the cast was excellent
yes.
and matched up to the parts. And Landis was a riot. I hadn't really known him. And for most of us, it was a lot of our first films. Kevin Bacon, myself, Karen
right.
Allen, Jamie Widows. And Tim Matheson was an actor since he was a kid, about 13, 14. So he was the most experienced of us all. And for me, half the fun was being with Donald Sutherland and Verna Bloom and John Vernon.
Right.
And But you don't really know. You have no idea, especially something that's so culturally significant.
Because
nobody has a clue.
And when you say culturally significant, having I really consider it a privilege to have being in college when that movie came out, because it transformed colleges and universities all over America. It went from, with all due respect,
it did.
From, institutes of higher learning to Party Central. I mean, how many toga parties were there in the first year after that movie came out? It was mind-boggling.
I got a call from Ohio State University about a month after the movie opened. I don't know how they got my number, but some guy says, is this Peter Regan? And I said, yes. And I heard a noise on the other end of the phone. I thought it was like an ocean wave, you know? I said, who are you? And he tells me his name. He's calling from Ohio State University. I said, where are you? He said, I'm in an arena with 15,000 people wearing togas. Could you say a line from the movie? I said, are you nuts? He said, any line, please, any line. So I said something like, Otis, my man. And the place exploded. I thought, oh, my God.
Speaking of Otis, do you remember years and years ago, we're walking through St. Louis Airport,
yeah.
and we see Otis Day on the night. He's there with his band. And, I mean, how many times do you think he got Otis, my man, when he'd be walking around?
I think he changed his name to Otis Day.
He did. I think so.
So if you guys knew it was funny going in, but you didn't know it was going right. to be what it was, when you started getting calls, and they're from Ohio State with 15,000 people, and then you had to be, when you'd be out on the street, you would see people who would say, they had to say, you know, we didn't say dude back then, but they would say, you know.
Well, they'd yell out lines from the movie to me.
Mm-hmm.
They'd yell out the character's name, Boone. They'd yell out things that I said in the film. They'd give you drugs. I mean, it was a very exciting time.
And that's, now, I'm glad you brought that up, because we're not going to go like down the John Belushi road. We don't care about that. We care about you. Did you get laid a lot after
Animal
House?
I had a girlfriend, and we were together for, I guess, until the 1980, and I was a good boy. So let's put it this way. If I wanted, I could have had room and board and the farmer's daughter in any town in this country.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It was intense.
You know, when you talk about a movie like that, I always like to ask, because sometimes you get an interesting answer, who was the most of that cast? Who was the most naturally funny person? The person without the dialogue, without somebody who was on the set who was a funny guy? Because, I mean, when you have that many people involved in a movie like that.
Well, obviously me.
There you go. Good answer.
Thank you very much. Actually, everybody was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Widows was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Belushi, obviously. It just was an insanely wonderful time. It was the first film I had done. I was 30, so I was relatively old compared to
the... You were 30 then?
Yeah, I looked really young.
Yeah, you did. Wow. I mean, you looked like a college kid back then.
Well, I did look very young. I mean, you know, the reason they gave Belushi the line, 7 years of college down the drain, is because he looked older than all of us. But we were in Eugene, Oregon, next, you know, right where the University of Oregon is.
Right.
It was 7 weeks of the most hysterical fun, and all we were hoping for was that Landis would cut it well and Universal would distribute it well. No, nobody had a clue.
Now,
you just never know.
How much did that make at the box office compared to what movies make now?
Well, It probably grossed over $100 million, and it cost at the time less than $3 million.
Wow.
So relative to its cost, it was like a monster.
And the other thing I remember about Animal House was the first movie that I remember, and this is of course before VCRs or DVDs or anything, it was in theaters, as far as I can remember, almost for a year.
It seemed like it played forever.
It would be like, okay, we've changed seasons again. What do you want to go see at the movies? Well, we could go see Animal House again.
It still plays. Every you know, I've been traveling with this movie I directed
right.
7 months, and somewhere they asked me to come and introduce the midnight screening in which, you know, the grandchildren of my peers are now appearing, you know. I've actually had kids come up to me for literally decades now, saying, you're the reason, not me, but the movie was the reason I wanted to go to college. And you're sort of
sure.
going, what did you study?
That's the point. And thank you, Peter, because we didn't study.
You didn't study, yeah.
Right. And when you were on The Sopranos, now, are you killed off on The Sopranos? Or
no,
you,
he's not dead yet.
He's not dead yet. Are you going to be in the season that's been done? Do you know yet?
You know, they had asked me to do it for the fifth season, but I was busy doing the film that I'm here to talk about. But then, it's going to do another year, and, you know, if they want me back, I'd be thrilled.
Because I liked your character on that. I mean, like I said, I'm a fan of yours, but I liked your character that you were a guy that was in business with Tony.
Oh, yeah.
You're a politician, and
yeah.
You got your hand in his pocket and everybody else, and then with his Guman, and, you know, I mean, well, he didn't really hit you with that. I mean,
oh,
of
yeah.
course not with
but
that
just,
belt.
You know, it's not a real belt, but I mean, it's...
it's a balsa wood belt.
It's close, pretty close. It wasn't styrofoam, maybe.
You know, it's your
but
new
we
movie.
Have to, we have to work, you know, we had to choreograph it. But
right.
The great thing about Jimmy Gandolfini is, first of all, he's a fantastic actor, but he
can I just say how much I like that you called him Jimmy. That's so
Jimmy Gandolfini.
Oh,
that's Hollywood,
that's what
man.
They call him.
I love that.
Jimmy G.
That's
but
right.
he, that's his name. I mean,
I know.
James to his butler, I guess. But, but he is great to work with, and I let him, you know, I had the props guy give me the belt before, and I said, look, whack me a couple of times. I got to see what I'm in for. And
oh,
I couldn't feel a thing. So I went to Gandolfini and said, look, we can have a ball here. Just and what he was terrific about is he had the prop guy hit him. Because I have a feeling he thought I was just trying to be a nice guy.
Right.
But once he knew that he was clear, that I was safe, then the rest of it is just, you know, you act your tuck us off.
I want to ask one question about The Sopranos, because we're all fans of it. And I think like all the fans mm-hmm. of the show, we get frustrated with the length of time between episodes. I've always been, you're always working. You're in a bunch of different things. But I would think that for some of the regular cast members on The Sopranos, is there any frustration there with some of the actors, the lengths of time between these episodes? Does that, you know, keep these guys in limbo or anything like that?
No, I think the way it's worked out for the cast and the writers and the director and the crew is that they've made something, you know, equally culturally important.
Mm-hmm.
And they're happy to stretch it out. I don't think they care.
Okay. I was just curious.
No, I don't think so. I think the audience, you know, obviously it's designed to make you hungry to see the show, which is very smart. I think most series are omnipresent. You know, you just see too much of them.
Right.
But this is a...
But there's got to be a happy medium between the way they're playing hardball with
sure,
us.
Well, I think it's really... It's not related to anything other than... David Chase, who's the main writer, has to see the entire season in order for all those 10 or 12 episodes mm-hmm. to make sense, and that just takes a good 3 to 6 months to figure out. I mean, it's a story. He's creating a story in the form of like a Dickens novel. So I don't think it's really that manipulative. It certainly helps, but I think it's more related to the time needed to create the all the storylines. That's a lot of balls to keep in the air.
You know, okay. what I was going to say about it, I saw the title of Peter's new film, and I think it's a very exciting. You'll be excited that he's actually, that somebody's finally making a biopic of Larry King.
It's not Larry. Even though
King of the Corner is not.
One of Larry King.
Shocking.
Larry King. One of
I mean, it's really long overdue.
One of his big crutches is when Larry King wants to appear to be a man of the people, I'm Larry of the Corner.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Oh, that's
where he says, I'm Larry of the Corner.
I'm just a kid from the corner in Brooklyn.
Is that like J-Lo, right? Isn't she?
Yeah, Jenny from
Jenny
of the
Block.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Larry of the Corner.
Larry of the Corner.
So King of the Corner is not a biopic of Larry King, Peter?
No. King of the Corner is based on a collection of short stories by a writer in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Damn, I'm sorry. I'm very upset about that.
Let him do his plug now, Mike.
All right.
And it's the short stories were called Bad Jews and Other Stories, which I thought was an hysterical title.
Mm-hmm.
The short stories were great. I chose two of them.
Okay.
And came up with the screenplay. In the cast, excuse me, is Isabella Rossellini, Eli Wallach, Eric Bogosian, Dominic Chianese, Harris Yulin, Beverly D'Angelo, Rita Moreno. It's a really good group.
Wow. We were just discussing Rita Moreno the other day. Well, with Hurricane Rita.
Yeah, you're talking about West Side Story, right?
Well, Hurricane, yeah, I'm serious.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
But she's...
I thought you had the Larry from the Corner tape.
That's Larry's page.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
There it is.
See?
That's Larry.
Larry of the Corner.
Here it is again.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Peter from the gutter. How are you?
Probably, yes.
Unbelievable.
Have you ever talked to Larry?
I think one time, and
hello.
I can't remember. Well, hello, Larry.
Hello.
I can't remember.
I'm Larry.
I'm Heine Manush.
I'm curious. I want to know why.
Oh, you guys are terrible.
I'm lying in bed. There's a minister over there.
Oh, God.
People are all gathering around the bed.
This is amazing. You have a collection of Larry.
Oh, we have a larger collection than you can imagine.
Yes, we do. Isn't that right, Larry, huh?
Probably yes.
Yeah. Probably yes.
Do you like Peter?
Nope.
Oh, come on. Be honest. Don't be a jerk.
Sometimes not.
Oh, come on, be honest.
It was funny.
No, it wasn't funny.
God.
Larry, what's the thing you're thinking about right now?
A boy.
All right.
What was that?
A boy.
A boy.
A boy. Oh, my God.
We have fun with that.
I want to see it all.
This is, I don't think I've ever heard this before.
A boy.
You were not born, you were made in a toy factory.
Let's just do this all day.
I'm sorry, your movie is King of the Corner, and here we are.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Would you mind taking some calls as we continue to talk
Absolutely.
About your movie? Because I almost forgot we've got all of our lines for you here. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on
hey,
the Peter
guys.
Wiegert. Hello, go ahead.
Yes, Peter, I was just wondering if Amadeus ever hit on you on the set of Animal House.
Did Amadeus ever hit on me? Man, this is the most hysterical show. No.
The actor's name. Who is the actor's
Tommy
name?
Tommy Hull.
Yeah, that's right.
Nominated for an Academy Award. Really,
you got to be kidding me.
Never kid by me. Where am I? I feel like I've been hit by Muhammad Ali. Oh, my God. My head's ringing. It's only round two.
Unbelievable.
I know what you mean. You guys should pay me after this is over. I haven't done more time with an abstract voice.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Basically, my style is one of utter...
Butter.
It's
That's
almost
a cow.
I don't want to say naivety. I'm curious.
This is hysterical. It took me an hour to get here. Joe had to direct me like he was an airport guy bringing in a plane.
If I knew I'd live this long, I'd take better care of myself.
Yeah, but I... Oh, my God.
I'm the oldest person in a lot of places now.
But the audience has to know is I'm tied to a chair, and I'm going to be here for a week.
You have no choice.
Listening to this. Oh, my God. Not another cupcake, please. Heavy breathing from Larry King.
Oh, man.
Shut up.
Oh, boy. The nature of the beast.
It certainly is.
Okay, here we go.
I feel like Jerry Mahoney.
Hello. Don and Mike Show, you're on with Peter Wiegert. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Peter.
Get me out of here.
Can't help you, my friend.
Yeah.
Hey, loved you in Animal House.
Thank you.
Seriously, my all-time favorite film was Local Hero.
Thank you.
I'm glad somebody else acknowledges
one.
That.
Yes, sir. Another
Thank
and,
you.
And not to put myself in the stalker category, but my wife and I actually flew to Scotland and lived in the hotel where you...
Way to go.
And the soundtrack, it plays on a loop. Endlessly.
Well, the great thing about Scotland is any place you go, they'll tell you, for reasons of making money, that the movie was shot in their hotel, in their bathroom. But it's great that you went there. It's a beautiful place.
So you're a big fan of Peter's.
Oh, my God.
Can you tell me, what's his address?
No, it's not that close.
I mean, at home.
Well, this movie is going to be playing at the Bethesda Row Theater. And I'm going to be answering questions from the audience after all screenings on Friday and Saturday.
You know, I lost my card about
So if you want to come down, I'll be there.
This is King of the Corner.
King of the Corner. at Bethesda Row.
Yeah.
It'll be there at least a week, and if we make some money, they'll just keep it going.
Well, you know,
but come down. I'll be happy to say hello.
You should be making money with that cast. That's an incredible cast of people.
This movie opens tomorrow in D.C. at the Landmark E Street.
Not Landmark E Street. They moved it. It's now Bethesda Row.
You know,
Bethesda, but that's also a Landmark theater.
Ah,
that's okay.
Bethesda Row Theater.
That's right.
Can you give me just a second?
Take your time.
Yeah, he's got to take care. He was given some wrong information, Peter, and this is what we have to do.
We're going
to
fix that.
Hello?
You embarrass me.
No, I know that was the information I was given after
you embarrass me. You embarrass Mike.
You embarrassed us in front of an actor, and you know what that means.
Damn you.
Mm-hmm.
Damn you.
Untie me.
It's fun to watch.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now, listen, hold on.
I think she hung up.
Did she hang up? That's our producer. Did you meet Beth Ann?
She was giving me water and nuts. All right.
You got some almonds? You got some almonds when you get
You got a good look at her, right? And I'm not going to ask you anything physically about her.
You guys are very bad boys.
Here's the question.
Oh, if only you knew.
We found this out yesterday from Beth Ann. First, I'll tell you that she is a single mom.
Uh-huh.
She has not been with a man for 11 years.
Is it 11 years or 13 years?
Beth Ann, I had nothing to do with this.
11.
How many times?
I was nowhere near Pitkin Avenue.
How many times a week do you think she goes to
spit it out?
We
have to be careful with the census here. You know, it's a new day and age in the world.
I'm not going to answer this.
But she gave us the answer.
With your no, you know what.
How many times, you matter, how many times a week do you think she achieves?
If you were going to throw out a completely random number.
A random number ain't coming out of my mouth. No way.
What a shock you to know, and this is not, five times.
You can comment on if he's shaking his head.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Are you ready for a trivia question about Peter, Don?
Yes, Mike.
One of our favorite movies that he was in, that we talk about a lot, A Shock to the System.
Oh, with Michael Caine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
You get bumped off by him, right?
Bumpity. Boo.
Mike, he blew me up in a boat.
That's
a great pull. I forgot that Peter was in that movie.
Right, right. That looked like a fun movie to make, too.
Great fun. He's just one of the greatest people. An incredible storyteller. The warmest guy. Knows everybody. That was a couple of months of great fun with him. He's a great man.
So in King of the Corner, which we will promote now here for you, because we want everybody to go see in Bethesda.
Bethesda Row, I think is the name of the theater.
Is it a feel good?
Let's put it
because that's what I'm looking for, Peter. Is a feel good.
Yeah, I think you'll feel good after you leave this, you son of a, you know what? No, it's a story about a guy. I play this middle aged guy who's sort of lost focus in life. Eli is my father. Isabella Rossellini plays my wife. Beverly D'Angelo is my old girlfriend from high school.
Nice.
Actually, Dominic Pianese, who you know from The Sopranos,
right.
Jr.,
right.
plays the funeral director. Eric Bogosian is a rabbi. It's very funny.
How'd you get to, I mean, it sounds like...
It's a powerful cast.
A relatively small, independent-type film. Obviously, if you're on this crappy show promoting it...
Hey, this is the top. Don't sell yourself.
It's all downhill.
If this is the top, you forget it for you. How did you get all these great actors?
I think it's the material. Nobody does favors at this level. I don't ask for favors. I wouldn't know how to repay a favor. I think, first of all, the great secret about actors is most of them don't really work a lot or enough. They certainly don't make a lot of money. And this was a real, this was something special. We made the movie for $400,000.
Wow.
We shot it in Super 16 millimeter, blew it up to 35 millimeter for about another $150,000. I didn't get distribution, or I didn't get the kind of distribution that I wanted. So I went on the road by myself, like a band without a record deal.
Right, promoting it.
And I've been traveling for 7 months. I leave from Washington, D.C., go to Seattle, Washington, finish up there. And then the DVD comes out October 25th. So this is really a self-distributed film. The cast, I'm sure it wasn't, it couldn't be a favor. There's no way I could possibly repay them. They liked the script. They like the other actors in the material,
right.
And they like the part.
And you're happy with the finished product. You like
I'm thrilled,
film.
Absolutely thrilled.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I started directing about 5 years ago because the natural order of things is you get older, the parts become fewer.
The natural order.
The natural order.
That's right.
And
you don't know why that's funny.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm terrified to even think.
Yeah, go back. Part of my master plan.
At this point, I'm scared to death. But I knew that I had to do something different. So I directed a short about 5 years ago called Bikuri. It's an O. Henry short story. It was nominated for an Academy Award, and I saw a door open, and I just went through it.
Is it more, obviously it's more work for you to do something like this than just signing on to be in something like the Sopranos. Is it worth it? I mean, hauling around the country.
I would say I'm as excited as I was when I first started acting 35 years ago.
There you go.
It's been a great experience.
That answers that.
And anytime you get something that you want to fight for, I mean, as an actor, I get hired 8 months later, the movie comes out, and I do publicity and press, and I want it to succeed.
Right.
But this is so intense. You know, this is your store. You know how you feel about it. That's the way I feel about the movie. But right. I'm really proud of the work, and the actors are great. The material is wonderful. It's very witty. It's got some heart to it. It's not afraid to have some sentiment. And we've done some... Yeah, I had some good reviews and good excitement from the audience, and this is what you got to do.
Have any talking dogs or talking babies?
No talking dogs or babies.
Kangaroo?
No, I'm sure. Actually,
Kangaroo Jack is a
unless
classic.
You have a big audience that likes talking dogs and babies, then yes,
New
we're
York.
Filled.
My hometown, New York.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you know what? And I'm blocking on the other movie I've done that I think you told me to watch that I saw only recently. Really,
right.
It's the one where you're in the you're at the baseball game. What's the title of that movie? Where it's the Bleacher.
A Bleacher Bum.
Bleacher Bum.
Oh yeah,
that was for sure.
You told
That's
me to
right.
watch
I
that.
I told you to watch that.
That was a wonderful movie.
You're excellent in that too.
Thank you. I gotta come here more often.
Yeah, hold on. We balance it out. Don't
Let's
we?
Take a couple more calls.
Okay.
For Peter, who's here to promote his new movie, King of the Corner.
Yes.
The biopic of Larry King.
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on with Peter Rieger.
Gentlemen.
Hi, you're on the air.
How you doing, gentlemen? Mr. Rieger.
How are you?
Got a quick question for you about a film you did in the 80s called Local Hero.
Sure, well, okay.
I can't believe this many people are Local Hero.
We've covered it already.
Go ahead.
What's the question?
Absolutely love it. Just wanted to know what your experience was like filming in Scotland, and did you have any interaction with Mark Knopfler, who did the soundtrack, or was that something that he did later?
No, I met Mark actually right before I got the job, and he was up there working, because a lot of the music was recorded live, and I just got to spend a good deal of time with him.
And
another
Bert,
amazingly talented guy.
And Burt Lancaster.
Burt Lancaster.
Ah, the Lemons.
Yeah, the Lemons.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, just a quick question.
Yeah.
Eli Wallach, that's in the film with you, plays your dad.
Right.
Is that the same Eli Wallach that was in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
That's exactly the same guy.
He has been at it a long time.
Yeah, I think he's 90 this year. Although,
wow.
Don't tell him I told you, because he's still trying to get those 80-year-old parts.
So. Here's another call for you, Peter. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Don't embarrass us.
I'm sorry, am I on the air?
Yes.
Don't embarrass us.
Come on now, ask your question. You've embarrassed us
My
already.
My fault. Don't have a question. Just wanted to share a story. I went out to visit... my daughter in California many years ago, and you were
stalking.
No,
this is one thing you got to understand about it. It was probably a compliment, but
probably a wonderful story. But you know, it just would take too long.
When it starts with about him, let's forget it.
We're here to talk.
Peter, you come on this show. Just remember one thing: you come on the Don and Mike Show. It's all about you.
And Larry King. Thank you very much.
Well, and him.
And Larry King, right? Larry, what do you got going tonight, Larry?
Hold on. Larry?
What happened to the Larry button?
He's out getting a drink. He's exhausted.
The Larry button's broken.
Thank Larry. Bank 9.
Bank 9.
There we go. Hold on, Larry.
Hello.
Oh,
yeah. There he is again.
I was worried.
What are you doing tonight? Larry?
There.
See?
Oh, look what a shame. You know, when the button doesn't work, it's no fun.
Hello.
I'm shocked.
Now we're
no cut.
Shocked.
Oh, are you having a good time so far,
Michael Jackson?
I feel like I've aged 10 years since I sat down.
That's it. Well, what do you want to do tonight?
Hands down, Michael Jackson.
Oh, that's sick.
You know, come on.
I'm having a thrombosis.
Who do you want to have sex with besides Michael Jackson?
I would rather do Saddam Hussein.
Wow.
Who wouldn't?
God.
Who wouldn't?
I got some few chest pains. First, and I read the obituaries every day. Look.
There were like 9 people in this room.
I still at times, right before
Three
I fall asleep,
Larry
wonder
King.
If I'm going to get up.
Does he know how much you do this? This is hysterical.
He does, yes. Yeah. He's aware, and when they call his show and ask about us, he gets a little flustered.
Okay.
But, Larry, mainly you're thinking about...
Oh, boy.
And when you were with the boy, what did
you know the audience that was going to come to my movie?
Oh, no, they're going to come.
They're not coming anymore.
What do you think about with the boy?
What wigs me out the most
what?
Is how fat I was.
Well, Peter, thanks for being on our show.
I'm beyond at a loss for words.
Do you hate us?
I love you. I want to move in here. I want to press that button is what I want to do.
Peter's movie is King of the Corner, and we'll have a link on our website with the information here in the D.C. area at the Bethesda Landmark Cinema. Please call Beth Ann or have your person,
sure.
Your girl.
My girl.
Your girl.
Have your girl call our girl.
And let us know how it did. I bet you get a big turnout.
Yep.
I will let you know. And,
because as you could, I mean, hopefully you could tell with all this crap.
No, this is great.
We're big fans of you.
No,
I mean, we really are.
One of the things that's really important to mention is when I do a movie for a studio, they take care of all this stuff.
Right.
And I never know who owes them favors. But for you guys to do this for me is really spectacular because it's going to be immensely helpful.
Oh, good. Well, we're huge fans. You've made so many wonderful movies, and keep on doing that.
King of the Corner, and it opens tomorrow. Now,
and I'll be there answering questions all day tomorrow and all day Saturday.
Cool.
Wow, Jesus Christ.
Four screenings tomorrow, five screenings on Saturday.
Wow, that's a lot of work. Yeah.
So I guess that guy who stalks you should show up.
Yes, I think he's coming with his family.
It was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you,
really
Peter.
A pleasure
Thank
meeting you.
Peter.
Now, you leave and we talk about
this
you.
This is, we
leave.
Talk and we analyze the segment. That's how it works.
Listen, just let me get in the car and get on Main Street and get the hell out of town.
Okay.
Somebody untie me.
Untie Mr. Riegert. Rob, would you please escort Mr. Riegert out of the studio, please.
Bring him out.
Thank you very much. Take the duct tape off. Very good.
Thank you.
You were not born. You were made in the toy factory.
I'm just going to remove the one piece of tape. There we are. The second piece of tape.
Thank you.
Great, Peter. You're free to go. Thank you, Peter.
Hold on so we can get your picture to prove that we met you. Put it on our website.
Absolutely.
Very nice to meet you, sir.
Thank you.
See, now that is
unfunny.
An actor.
And you told me about the Bleacher Bum movie.
Yeah.
And then we both like Shock to the System. And I was amazed how many people like Local Hero. That's great.
I forgot he was in Shock to the System. Michael Caine takes him out on this boat. Michael Caine has an insane plan in this movie.
To kill everybody that's holding him up.
Everybody's pissed him off. He kills his wife. Then he goes to work. And it's like the Peter plays the young guy, the young up-and-comer who's going to take his job.
Dippity-boppity-boo.
And Michael Caine takes him out, or tells him that, you know, you should go out on your boat. Yeah, you're great.
Does he like turn the gas on or something like that?
Yeah. And he's standing. I don't know what Michael Caine is doing, if he's watching or not. Maybe he's watching his watch or something.
Who knows?
As he knows the moment, but they show Peter out on this boat with this piece of ass girl, and he's like, he's the yuppie.
Sure.
Like, life is
the big evil boss.
Life is good, and then they just show this. It's almost like they spliced in, like on the Letterman show, where you see an out of context explosion with a car going over the cliff.
Right. Seriously, you know, we talk about some of the movies that are obscure that not everybody's seen, but you could get Barbarians at the Gate, Local Hero, Shock to the System, and have a Peter Rieger Film Festival and have a perfectly good time.
Yeah, Barbarians at the Gate. You should get that on Amazon.com.
Absolutely.
That's great. Ross, I'm so pleased you thought to call first.
Kiss your good lady for me.
This is terribly exciting news.
Robinson's residence.
Jim, is this a bad time?
No, just dressing.
As he's wearing a Superman suit.
Brett Thompson.
Who, incidentally, is still some kind of real politician. But
sure.
But at the same
time. He goes back and forth.
Yeah. At the same time, he's on all the Law and Orders.
It's very, very cool.
Going to a charity, dude. What's up?
Rats.
Are you serious? That is one tremendous step, Ross. Really tremendous.
Tremendous, Ross.
But tomorrow's fine. Absolutely. Well, come ahead.
Come ahead.
Now, we'll be in Connecticut the whole weekend.
Yep.
This is terribly exciting. I can't tell you how pleased I am that you thought to call me first.
You know, that is only funny if you've seen Barbarians at the Gate.
Barbarians at the Gate, one of the great ones.
Because it's the go-go 80s, and they're these guys that have got all this money, and they're ready for IPOs and takeovers, and he's standing in a Superman suit.
Mm-hmm. And, getting ready to go to a charity function.
And who's that redhead who plays Marie Antoinette?
Know, she's been in a lot of movies, too. I wish I remembered her name.
Do you think she's at the wall yet?
Maybe. There might be a chance. How many years ago was Barbarians at the Gate? 10 years ago?
Longer than that.
Yeah,
longer. It's about the 80s, so it probably came out, what, in the early 90s?
Probably.
I don't know. Anyway, got a break because I almost said something about a woman who might be listening now. The wall lady.
Oh, yeah.
Her. Of course I wouldn't mention her name. Mike and I were having a discussion today about just about women and about when they hit the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and part of that, and not all the women have hit the wall, too, because we were talking about that lady on the Weather Channel that you like so bad.
Oh, you finally saw Stephanie Abrams.
And I saw Stephanie Abrams in her glory.
Yeah.
Down in Galveston. I think she's down in Galveston.
I knew right away. Mike said she was, and I said, was it a black T-shirt? And Mike said, no, it was a gray T-shirt.
Gray T-shirt. Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Whoa. And then there's that other news chick that we were talking about.
She will go nameless. Say no more.
She needs a checkup from the neck up.
It's wall time.
It is. We've got a break. Another brick in the wall. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.